Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 704, and I think I'm actually going to get... I don't know why I call it True Liberty, because it's not what it is. The whole concept is you can have almost any kind of sub-governmental system under liberty. Well, to a degree. One of the basic tenets of liberty, and it's kind of funny because it's almost implied in the Constitution without actually saying it. I am a pretty dyed-in-the-wool libertarian type of a person. I am an open borders. The borders exist to say where we will not pass in the way of an official, like, army defense status. The border isn't there to keep people out. It isn't there to define people who are inside are blessed and all everybody outside is cursed. It's nothing. I don't see it as that way. Anybody can come to the United States. That's not a troublesome thing for me. You know, they say, oh, but we can keep those dirty, nasty terrorists out. And you go, well, who's to say that a majority of the people inside the United States wouldn't also do something that was a terrorist? And they're American citizens. Inside the United States, we just call them criminals. Outside, we call them people that we don't worry about. You know, so if there was terrorist acts being done within the United States, we would treat them with the same structure that we treat anybody else, which is through the criminal system. You know, we typically have standing armies within the United States. You know, we only raise them up when there's a defense need. We don't go out and fight wars across the sea, or we shouldn't. We most certainly have. Most of our wars have been wars that have had nothing to do, really, with the United States, only with keeping treaties and trying to keep our supply of oil happy, and you know, and to try to keep down people we perceive to be threats, which I think is a little presumptuous. You know, we shouldn't feel the need to do that. So when I talk about open borders, that's the open border that I mean. I mean, people can come in and we shouldn't be weird about it. I mean, you can still have customs, you can still have the border patrol, you can still have stuff like that. But our basic theory is, we let anybody in. You know, we might check them for, you know, things that we don't want in the United States. Not people we don't want. We need to treat people more like we treat birds and animals that we have a little much, must have more respect for. You know, if a bird flies over the U.S. border, we don't have a big, huge Skynet to try to keep out those nasty, you know, Mexican or Canadian birds. They're allowed freely to travel across borders. I think we should be at least as respectful to humans and say humans can travel across borders, too. You may want to, you know, exercise some control over the kinds of possessions they bring across. You know, if you want to check for diseases and stuff like that, I think that's perfectly adequate too. If you want to, I don't think that's really ever become a real thing. That used to be a trumped up charge to try to scare people about not letting anybody through the borders. You know, if it's porous one way, if we can leave the United States pretty readily, of course that may change at some point, it should be porous the other way too. Well, let those other people come in. We want them to come in and sightsee. We want them to come in and do things like that. You know, we want them to freely take our products out because they must have bought them here. We want them to take them out of the United States, although it would be nice to be able to, you know, if you want checkpoints to make sure that you can tax them for exporting stuff from the United States, I have no problem with that happening particularly. Except that I'm kind of a free trade, laissez-faire libertarian type. Anyway, but there are just a few things that need to be codified. And the Constitution never got down to really doing it because it never really considered, we never talked about immigration issues, particularly in the Constitution, for the very reason that we figured more people would want to come to the United States. We are still a rather undensely populated country. My part of the country is really undensely populated. Now whether we have the resource to handle things, if we have enough water, water's probably the big issue where I come from. But other than that, let them come. Nothing to stop them. People say, oh, we have social programs to keep, we just want Americans to enjoy that. And you go, well, then get rid of those social programs. Don't have them. Or, better yet, fully privatize the entire thing and let certain groups, I'm totally for charity. The problem is when the government kind of takes over charity, it starts saying who you can and can't be charitable to. If you give $5 to an illegal alien, you could be locked up for aiding and abetting a criminal. And you go, the only reason why that person's a criminal, the only reason why they're giving $5 to them would all of a sudden become this evil, wicked thing to do, is because we've chosen to say that there are illegal aliens. We could just stop saying that, and all of a sudden you could be charitable to illegals if you wanted to be. Not that the government needs to be. I'm not saying, I'm all for a wicked, nasty, kind of evil, you don't ever want to go to government for help because they'll make your life miserable before they give you anything. And I want them that way. I would rather individuals, groups of people who freely associate themselves together, Mexican Aid Agency. And when they can't afford to help Mexicans anymore, Mexicans don't get helped. Just as much as Americans don't get helped. Then you have to be nicer to your neighbors, people around you, if you want to be a part of, And that's where, that way our big federal government ends up being something that hardly touches us at all. And we freely associate, you might be a part of a healthcare pool, and you get to decide who gets to be a part of that pool, And if you're not a part of any pool, or you don't have anybody who's willing to help you pay healthcare, because they say, we don't like you, you're a jerk, There's all kinds of new criteria because it's so much closer to home, You can be generous if you want to be. The current system doesn't allow for generosity. There's laws against it. The current Medicaid program, the state gets to decide who gets to have Medicaid or not. And if you don't, by golly, they'll punish you. People say, well, we don't want murderers and rapists and stuff like that having free health care from the government. And you go, but see, because it's so federalized, because it's handled on a state level by and large, they don't really have a mechanism to catch that. So they don't, and they just say, we have our criteria, and that's not one of the criteria. It becomes an act of Congress to try to get that kind of criteria, and then to try to administer it, if you actually get it legislated, is even worse. This way it's really easy, You have your friends and your neighbors, people that you know. They're part of, a pool, for instance. These things are all voluntary. There's no laws against it, And you can have your friends over here, If this guy's a smoker and you don't want, and your little pool doesn't want to take smoke, you just say, sorry, you don't get it. And there's no criteria for them, suing you or getting pissy at you. It's already handled in the Constitution. It's called the freedom to associate. Now people don't use that. People rarely ever hear it. I don't remember which amendment it is. But it's right there. You have the freedom to associate. You can hang out with the people you want to hang out with. You can't be forced into groups, which is universally ignored. You are forced into groups whether you like it or not. And I think most of government, or most of the functions that government now does, should devolve down to kind of these voluntary associations. You don't tax them. You don't get punitive with them. The favorite thing government does is it starts taxing certain groups, and it starts, it fines other groups that aren't behaving the way they like them to behave. You can't name the groups by name, but you can make your legislation really pointed. And you just say, people have a right to associate, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, well, we can't touch them then. You need to make sure these things can't be taxed or things like that. If you're going to tax anybody, you have to tax individuals. This whole idea of having a corporation, although it's really interesting from a liability standpoint, that's the problem with them. Evil can hide very easily, or just greed and all the things that, like, liberals hate. We hate those things. We hate those nasty corporations. I'm all for getting rid of corporations, too. I don't think corporations should exist. I think everybody should be held responsible for everything they're a part of. People go, well, that's just going to kill a lot of business. And you go, fine, that business doesn't need to exist. We're always saying that we don't like big business, which are primarily corporations and stuff like that. We like small mom and pop sorts of organizations. And you go, you know what, that's just fine. People can freely associate, start a factory, Corporations came as part of the Industrial Revolution when there needed to be large amounts of money sunk into certain ideas. And corporations were a wonderful thing to do that because it limited the liability of stockholders in a corporation. A corporation was an entity unto itself that could do tons and tons of evil. And evil people could work through corporations and stop that. You just get rid of that. I think corporations should just be eliminated in favor of associations. Now, associations don't limit liability, like an LLC, for instance. Associations spread that liability around, It also makes it so that shareholders, like we have now, are somewhat shielded from problems. They can always just pull their money out, and the liability ends. With an association, the liability still stays there in the group, and the members of the association become much more accountable for what the association does because they'll ultimately be a part of it. And of course, being a member of an association can be very fluid, and you make it that way. You just have to say you're free to associate or not to associate. That means you can't set up like these weird little riggers where rich people come and become part of an association, but they can't bail themselves out for 60 days. That way you can really rip it to them. I think that whole freedom to associate implies a freedom to disassociate yourself. At a moment's notice, you can pull yourself out of that thing before you feel like it's causing problems. Anyway, so, okay. Get rid of corporations. You can do the same thing with associations. Yeah, a lot of things would have to change in order to, in order to handle that, but that's okay. This isn't a model that is unfamiliar to us. It's just not used very often. But we'll come back and we'll do that. You'll find that most associations aren't monetized. it doesn't become this money thing. You know, banks will go away as corporations, of course. And it will be much more about your neighbors sharing amongst themselves, you know, pooling money to do certain things, no loan to each other and stuff like that under interesting circumstances. And that basically becomes the whole thing. Anyway, okay, so, you know, that's one of the things that you need to do. You know, we really need to talk about the whole freedom to associate, because that's one of the forgotten, dead portions of these things. Government can't stop you from associating with who you want to associate with. Now, you might become responsible for what that association ultimately does. So you want to be very careful. Kind of like me, I don't associate with hardly anybody except for the Mormon Church. My only affiliation with anything. I'm not really big on, you know, I don't really associate myself particularly with America, except that I'm forced to. I think that's also a question of that freedom to associate. If I don't want to associate with America, I don't have to. You know? Let me talk about the whole thing that kind of brought this up, which was you can have every kind of a governmental system under freedom as long as certain rules are kept. You know, one of the great rules of freedom, and it needs to be specifically codified in the Constitution when things fall apart, or in whatever government comes up next, it says, well, we're going to adopt the U.S. Constitution with a caveat. And here's the caveat. It must really go toward controlling the power of states in the United States, because it was originally created with 13 colonies that became the 13 states. States had to be respected. There was this whole concept of states' rights. And what it basically says is, hey, anything that isn't enumerated in the Constitution becomes the venue of the states and of the people. And of course, it didn't really get down to saying what states could do. And I think we need to codify that and pretty much disempower states. One idea I had, and I still toy with it, is that because the original 13 colonies existed before the U.S. government and their union created the United States, those 13 states should be allowed to continue as states. I think the rest of the United States should be that states formed after the creation of the United States should be dissolved. Now, Texas is kind of a special case, and California may be a special case. Texas is special because it was brought in as a country that decided to unify with the United States, and there was a specific treaty giving it the power to be a state, giving it the power to actually be four states if it wanted to be. So Texas is a special case, but the rest of the United States, you know, acts of Congress created the kind of separation that we have now. And it's mostly administrative. It really has nothing to do with people or stuff like that. The whole idea that states are almost, represent certain groups. You know, the original 13 colonies in a whole lot of ways were interesting experiments in different kinds of governance. And they kind of formed, and I'm not saying this is really, you know, perfectly pure, but, you know, they formed around certain ideas. There were some states that were specifically certain religions that were, you know, there were Quaker states. I think Massachusetts was something of created by Quakers or something along those lines, you know, Unitarians in other places, you know. A whole sort of history of those early colonies is very interesting. But of course, other states were not formed that way. They were mostly formed by just, I don't know what formed them. I don't know what kind, it was mostly political wrangling. It really had nothing to do with people within those jurisdictions feeling a unity at all. I'll have to be honest. I'm from a little town called Tucumcari. It has much more in common with Texas than it does with a lot of New Mexico. And it's funny that way, I find the whole state of New Mexico as it is kind of pointless because it really has no unifying history. We definitely have histories of different regions in New Mexico, but by and large, other than that, New Mexico itself has no history except that once they drew up those borders, when you talked about the state of New Mexico and laws and legislation and stuff like that that happened, that's really the only unity there is kind of a forced unity. So I would be the first one to dissolve all the states outside of the original 13 colonies, Texas, and, California is a weird case that will have to be ruled upon for the simple reason that I don't think it ever really was much of a republic. I think the republic was made up. It fell apart almost immediately upon I think it only lasted for maybe a month or two. Nobody really respected it as a country. It did not have treaties with anybody like Texas did. It did not have an existence as an independent country. It never did. They were hoping to do it, and it never really materialized. So there's that thing. So I'm not sure how to do California. I would probably tend to go toward just dissolve California too. But then people can start going into and having kind of governances that are based on your property or based on things like that. I would call the whole entire West something of a federal free trade liberty zone type of thing. Most of the United States outside of the 13 colonies was actually purchased land purchased by the federal government or won by war or gotten by treaty. There was the Louisiana Purchase, the territory won through the Mexican War, purchases from Mexico, and then treaty lands that were given, the Oregon Territory, I think, was kind of a finally treaty lands that were taken from British Canada. Actually, it was British. It wasn't Canada then. It was the Crown that we were doing deals with. Anyway, so those things kind of almost become kind of federal free zones. And I don't mind because I kind of like that whole idea. So in there, in that whole free zone, I would like to, I think it would be interesting, and I think it would be a good idea to make it like that. Only federal law holds sway there. Now, but it can't be special law over that territory. You can't start treating it like Washington, D.C. and stuff like that. It would have to be territory that all the remaining states would have to agree to legislation too. You can't put special rules on the free zone that don't also apply to states. That way you have kind of a counterbalance. The states would spit at that, one would hope. We really want those states to kind of function more like independent countries. And, we like the Constitution, but we also need to say that that Constitution needs to kind of almost step back from what it's become. It's also become a very, you know, a very powerful federal government. We want to slim that down. We want something between the Articles of Confederation and what we have chosen to do under the Constitution. We might want to pull that back and start putting more, you know, things on that. The free zone needs to be all about individual freedom and families and stuff like that. You know, that it will be very lightly governed. And we hope that states will choose to fight, because whatever the federal government stomps on the free zone also stomps on the states too. You won't be able to make that differentiation. I also think that we need to do a whole big thing about the whole concept of government and having, you know, I'm not sure I want to go so far as to have crazy Wild West territories. We do want law and order in the free zones, but I don't think we want to empower jurisdictions particularly. We don't want to have a jurisdiction everywhere. Right now, everything is broken down into states and into counties. You cannot escape local tyranny. And I think it's very important that we need to set up places where you can. I think the entire part of the United States that's not a part of 13 colonies in Texas needs to become, you know, it can have free things. I mean, you can split it up for like law enforcement reasons into, and this is only federal law enforcement, and we have to be really careful how we empower the feds to enforce. We need to be really careful to really bind the hands of federal government. You know, you can have U.S. Marshals and give them territories, but those do not end up being legislative territories or stuff like that, you know, where you have a county commission over these things. We wouldn't set up these things, you know, they might be set up for just strictly for law enforcement. And that, you know, if you had a marshal, that marshal could not be empowered by the people of that jurisdiction, that just drawn line thing, which are what most counties are, just drawn up lines for convenience sake. The people within those things couldn't empower their marshal, federal marshal, to do anything beyond what the federal government empowers that person to do, which would be very constrained. So the whole concept of states and counties would disappear. You would have this whole free area, and laws and things like that beyond what the federal government puts down would be given solely to property owners. And that also means that all the federal land that is in the West, for instance, in these purchase places, need to be gotten rid of. We can't have the federal government owning much land at all. They need to divest themselves of it. And my idea is, and I find it an interesting idea, is that we need to have something of kind of a hybrid auction-y kind of thing, but not really. I think there should be we should take the last census before this all happens. You can't take it after you do this legislation, because you'll find all kinds of people coming in and trying to make themselves worthy of reparations. It would have to be like the 1990 census or the 2000 census. and say, whoever is listed as a citizen on the 2000 census, whoever has a Social Security card and is on that census, would be entitled to a share of this reparation thing. You can either sell that share for money, you know, it has a monetary value because it's tied to a certain amount of land, probably an acre or two or three, however it ultimately divvies up. Everybody in the United States would be eligible to have a share. You know, and then you would sell, you know, you can either sell that share for money or you can exchange that share for an actual piece of property. And of course that, you know, it's based on the actual assessed value of the whole thing. You could cash that thing in for, you know, a couple of acres way up in the mountains for some desert land, for whatever federal lands are being disposed of. And all the federal lands are going to be disposed of, except what's required for jurisdictional stuff. You know, you'll have to set aside land for a jail so the marshal can lock up his prisoners before he takes them off to a larger prison, perhaps. Something like that, so he could have an office, things like that, that would be actually the federal property. Anyway, so you would have that, and you would be disposing of all this land. Once everybody had an opportunity to sell their share or take land, and you would have to have kind of a time period of which you would say either you sell your share for money or you trade your share for a piece of property. You know, whatever pieces of property were left after that sale, after the federal reparations are done, then the people of then it would all of a sudden fall into a big auction, and you could have, you know, things, auction things, you know, you would have a big auction, and you would auction off the remaining pieces of land. You know, and it would be based on how much money you could get for it. You know, each individual piece of property would be auctioned off. You wouldn't have huge swaths of land, particularly. You'd have to do up, you know, I do it kind of like the old Homestead Act. You know, 160-acre chunks, by and large. Divide up into acreages down to the size of whatever a share came up with, if it was 3 acres or 10 or whatever, you could take your property. Now, when you had those shares, you could go and have them. You could go and stake out your claim on federal lands and have them. Corporations could be done the same way. They would be treated exactly the same way. There would be a corporate reparations, you know, authority. People who had shares of corporations could sell them either for money or for the assets of the corporation. If a corporation owned land, you could sell off that land, you know. And this would all be taken care of through our legal system. We would set up a whole other, maybe agency, but it would only be an agency that would last for a certain amount of time. And you would be tearing up all these things, you know. The stock markets would basically kind of fall apart because you wouldn't have corporations anymore, you know. You might be able to reform something similar to it with associations, but I find that, you know, I don't think that's very good because the whole point of stock markets was to make corporations into strictly money entities, you know. You'd have a whole bunch of stock that was basically just money stock, you know. It was made to raise money. I wouldn't necessarily want to be doing that. I don't know. We would probably come up with other structures at some point, but the whole point is that this stuff would mostly go to individuals. and things like that. You could have associations that bought up land, too. There's no problem with associations buying up land. But each person in that thing would become responsible parties to it. If for some reason the association was terminated or people sold out of that association, the association would have to come up with structures to handle that. Now, these associations are tax-free. The only thing that can be taxed, you know, I would get rid of, you know, if you're going to continue to have personal income tax, which I think is a silly thing to do, because it punishes people for being productive, and you don't want to do that, you can find some other way to tax things. I don't think taxing land is particularly a good idea either. Especially if you want to create prosperity. One of the biggest ways to create prosperity is to have land, but if you make land a taxable entity, you know, this piece of land, this much, you know, people don't improve their property very much because it just drives up their property tax rate. Why not tax that? You know, you're going to have to do some other thing. I think I don't see a problem with taxing commerce. I think that's a pretty good idea. You know, I think the fair tax would be not a bad way to tax things. It's a direct tax. It's you know, it's stuff like that. I don't like head taxes particularly. Anyway, so those are things that can be ironed out ultimately. So once you have this big federal district and you have people that own land, you know, you're going to have plenty of land trading going on. That's just accepted and normal part of everyday life. Landowners become the law on their property. Now you will have federal laws that say, you know, you can't kill people. You know, you can't take a gun and shoot a person. Maybe you can under certain circumstances. Now, you know, that's the kind of stuff that needs to keep Congress busy, is those kinds of things. Although Congress shouldn't get together very often. They certainly shouldn't stay in Washington very much. They should only come to Washington during sessions. I like the whole part that the New Mexico legislature has a legislative session that lasts for 30 days, a year. And that's when you come and that's when you present all your stuff. You can get lobbied all you want to. Who cares? You know, anyway, I guess people care a lot. You would be the law over your land. You couldn't supersede, you know, you couldn't replace the federal laws that have been put into place. Now, you wouldn't have very many. But you certainly could add more laws that just govern your land. You could freely associate in associations with other people for your common good or common evil or whatever. If you own land that abuts a piece of water, I think it behooves everybody who also abuts that piece of water to form an association, and that association could create binding rules over everybody that's part of the association. Of course, you could choose not to be a part of the association, too. I think waterways and things like that and roads necessitate probably something like an association, but not an association, because they would have to, by their nature, be somewhat forced. You know, waterways and roadways have a lot in common. They have a common good to them. And a common good that kind of stretches out to a lot of different people. I think we would have to come up with mechanisms to handle that. And I can see something along the lines of consensual associations forming around that. Now, what it couldn't be totally consensual because you're always going to have a stick in the mud that will say no to everything. I think, you know, you may have to have, you know, each one of these associations kind of becomes a government unto itself, but you can choose to associate or not with it to a degree. You know, things like waterways and roadways, things that affect a lot of people, or airspace issues. I think the federal government needs to handle issues of air quality, air control, for the simple reason that, you know, you can't measure or see where people are, you know, you can't pollute your air and keep your polluted air from affecting the air of the next person down the street. It won't work. So you have to come up with some kind of system to let that kind of happen. You know, roadways, there needs to be some kind of a quasi-governmental authority to which you must be beholden, but that they only control roadways, and only those roadways insofar as connecting you up with other people. You know, you'd almost have to be something along the lines of commerce. Same thing with waterways, because, you know, water and air and roads kind of have a few things in common. Air is something that has to be just handled. Everybody has to be involved in that because everybody needs it and uses it. And when you pollute it, a lot of people suffer, you know. Waterways and roadways have more in common, but they have a lot in common with air, too, because it's a shared resource. And, you know, and especially since now we have a lot of public roadways, we would need some way to provide a legal scheme to share these things, but to also have governance over them so that they can be maintained and one can keep the peace on roadways. So you might have to have special road courts, special road law, special road jurisdictions, and you'd have to just divvy these things up a bit. And you'd also have to say when certain maintenance agreements begin and end, which already exist. I often go on dirt roads, and you'll come to a sign that says, you know, end of state road maintenance. And you could still do that. You know, you just devolve down to some kind of road governance scheme. Just interesting. So, and I think it would be really good, and I really think those would be the only things that would really have to happen. You can do other things in other ways. You know, almost everything else, including like the postal service, things like that, we've seen now that we can handle that in different ways. Just like the internet and everything else. You know, you have different providers for different pieces of a network, and it all seems to work, you know. And it seems to work pretty well. So, you know, you would give that over to business because business would want to keep that kind of thing going. You know, if you wanted to have electricity, you know, you would pay for a company, and of course, only certain companies may want to string to you. You may want to set up an association that handles all of your electrical utility lines as they exist now, but you guys would start having, you know, different systems to keep you from, you know, well, just, okay. The whole point of government is to allow maximum liberty while also providing for civilization. You know, you want a civilized place. That's kind of the two countervailing forces. You know, one is you want as much liberty as you possibly can have, to the point to where you can do anything you want to on your property and given the things that you want. Okay, the counterbalance is civilization, getting along with other people, kind of the social aspect of it. You know, you don't want to have to run, you know, it's kind of silly not to be able to have circumstances where you can, you know, have an efficient power grid. You know, it could be owned by several different entities, several different associations, several different owners, companies. But they can come up with a scheme so that it saves money so people aren't paying exorbitant fees, or that every single house doesn't get served by just a particular run of wires, you know, that they put in the ground. They don't have to buy up every single, you know, electric pole, run their own wires from their house straight to the power generation facility. You know, you don't have to do it that way. We can come up with ways to make these things work. And we already have. These don't have to be handled strictly by government. They can be handled by, you know, private associations. Some can't. It really kind of depends. But it will be people that would make those decisions. It wouldn't be a government saying, well, we feel like this is the way it's supposed to be, so the government will just take us over. No, the people have to freely give it. And each individual person has to agree to give it. You know, nobody, you know, government is force. It's forcing people to do something whether they want to do it or not. And the whole point is to slim down, to cut the number of things that's required down to the absolute minimum. Just what absolutely has to be done through force. You know. Anyway, okay, when it came down to it in this whole free territory, you can have associations, land associations as well. Your neighbors, you and your neighbors want to get together and you want to be communists, for instance. Right now, under our system, that wouldn't be tolerated. You would be shot as some kind of a weird renegade. Under liberty, that'd be okay. If you want to be a communist, that's fine. But there would have to be one federal constitutional amendment put into place that says no sub-government, no association may take and no person may give up their ability to walk away from a circumstance. It would be kind of the anti-slavery, the new anti-slavery amendment, which says you can't sell yourself. You can't sell yourself into bondage. It can't be done. You know, nobody will respect that. If you run away, you are not anybody's property, and you can walk away. Therefore, it gets rid of the slave trade, you know. You can't buy and sell people because you can't force people to, you know, you can't use the law to prop up your human property rights, you know. That person can't be part of your property. Anyway, so, this is an interesting problem here. Okay. So you would have that. That way, you know, people would have to come up with something. They could come up with something that was kind of akin to, to communism, but you would always know that if anybody felt, anybody could freely leave that association, there might be, they might have to buy their exit, or, you know, if they put money into the association, there would have to be some kind of mechanism within the association rules to allow them to leave it. I don't want there to have to be a registration of associations, because then the government could start saying, well, there's certain associations we'll tolerate and certain ones we won't. And you don't want to do that. You know, that stomps all over freedom to associate. You know, you want to make criminality criminal, but you publish criminals, you don't publish associations. You don't punish associations. You punish the individual people within an association if that association is doing wrong that way. You know, we don't adjudicate groups. We only adjudicate individuals, and that's the way it's going to be. Or the way it should be. Okay, so you can have an association that practically treats you like a slave, where you give up so much stuff to it in exchange for a membership in it, you know, and but they couldn't hold you there. If you gave up your property and there wasn't a mechanism for you to pull yourself out of that, you know, you might have to sue the place to try to get whatever you're a part of out of it. But then you could set up whatever associations you want to. If you guys want to have kind of a commune and do all kinds of fun things in your commune, do free love and all that garbage, there's nothing to stop you from doing that. I think the federal government should get out of things like abortion. They shouldn't make it legal. They shouldn't make it illegal. They should just say people can do what they want. Leave it up to God, whether God thinks it's appropriate or not. You know, until a person is born, they aren't independent and they aren't free. You know, a kid inside of some mom's belly kind of feels like property, you know, and you can kill it if you want to because it's inside of you. I don't know. That's something that individual people can decide whether that's appropriate or not. Of course, the only punishment you can do as an association is to banish somebody from your association. You might have some way to fine them so that you don't have to, you know, they can't break some law and then just get all their stuff back. You know, you can punish them that way, I guess. You know, it really depends on how their association's set up. But yeah, associations have no power to kill, to maim, or to take away people's freedom. You know, the government has a special case of that for lawbreakers, for criminals. Everybody has to have something that takes away people's freedom to move and people to do as they wish for criminal-wise. But we already have a system for that. And that's cool. We'll just stick with the system that we have. People say, oh, but it's not very perfect. And you go, no system's going to be. But that's also why we need to be in favor of liberty, because you need to be able to, as much as we can humanly put together, give people liberty to do what they want so that they can carve out whatever universe, world, existence they choose. Anyway, so that's all I had to say on that subject. This is Jay Nebro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 704. Hopefully got down to talking a little bit about the liberty that I was hoping to talk about and how important it could be. Anyway, this is Jay Nebro. If you'd like to contact me, the email address is autism, A-U-T, ISM at quix.us. Have a great day. Where's my pointer? There it is. Okay. We got it. Ha!